Hello, 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 drama listeners or brand new listener. This is Connor. My brother Dylan and I are so glad that you found our podcast. You're going to love today's new episode with Morgan Dudley, who is currently starring as Eurydice in Hadestown on Broadway. So before we get to that chat, I wanted to tell you that in addition to releasing brand new episodes of Drama every single Wednesday on this main feed, we have a bonus content platform called Drama Plus. So if you go to patreon.com/thedramapodcast, you'll find Drama Plus, where for $5 a month, you get to support your favorite twins, Connor and Dylan. You get access to bonus episodes of the podcast, and you get added to our close friends on Instagram. So head to patreon.com/thedramapodcast to become a member of Drama Plus, support us, tell your friends about us, and enjoy today's episode with Morgan Dudley. All right, on to the show.
Press play.
Curtain up and now we're in.
It's time to take spin.
The shade and tea
to spill.
Ooh, drama.
Oh, that's a tweet.
Did they book?
Who got nom?
They option no.
Oh, I'm not well.
What star will we talk to today?
Oh, that's a gag, honey.
Say no more. Drama. Drama. Welcome to Drama, a podcast that covers theater,
pop culture,
love,
and life.
I am Connor McDowell.
And I am Dylan McDowell.
Now, Dylan, you are wearing a full winter, like seasonal sweater.
Listen, I'm in the mood today. And it's so funny. Our guest mentioned that the Winter Village is already in New York now, because as our listeners know, I'm in Ohio. I awoke this morning to a blizzard. I mean, the streets are covered in snow. The cars were covered in snow. I didn't think I was ready, but it has filled me with this warm and cozy feeling inside. I'm so ready for the holidays and the winter season in general. I feel like giddy, honestly. I'm ready to put up the tree.
Oh my God. Okay, well, ready to feel old? Halloween was 10 days ago.
I know. That is the thing. I hate when it's so boring to talk about the weather, but I hate when we skip from fall immediately to winter and there's not like that in between, like liminal time.
Well, I will say New York is kind of having liminal vibes.
Okay.
Like randomly, it's like not been super duper cold yet. Like I'm wearing a puffer, but I don't really necessarily need it yet.
I love
that. It's a
cropped
puffer, believe it or not.
Because when I arrive this week to visit, I don't want to be lugging around my winter jacket. So
you won't. Okay. You won't. Like a good coat, but anyway.
But of course.
But of course, I can't wait for you to come visit. I feel like I have not been seeing a ton of theater lately, but I did go see Hadestown last week.
Oh my God. I am insanely jealous.
Dylan, I know. Literally, I called you before and you were like singing songs to me. You're like, and then you were on a drive and you said you listened to various Hadestown recordings, whatever, the whole time. Yeah. And I have to tell you, Dylan, it holds the hell up.
Ugh.
It is so freaking good. The music, everything. I cannot wait to talk to our guest about it.
It bangs.
I know. Can we bring her in? I feel like we need to start the convo.
Let's do it. Our guest today is That Girl. She currently stars as Eurydice in Hadestown, now in its sixth year on Broadway, where she is slaying opposite Jack Wolf, Paolo Jatte, and friend of the pod, Rebecca Naomi Jones, and more. You'll know her as the breakout star of Disney's Descendants, The Rise of Red. This record-breaking movie might have put our guest on the map, but she had already appeared in the films of The Prom and A Tourist's Guide to Love. On television, you'll recognize her from Henry Danger and Monarch, Legacy of Monsters. This Georgia girl is no stranger to the stage, having made her Broadway debut as Frankie in Jagged Little Pill, and also starring in many productions such as Ariel in Broadway at Music Circus's production of Footloose. She's also a singer-songwriter, having recently released her second single, Purgatory. We're so excited to have this Disney diva turned Broadway leading lady on the pod today. Please welcome to Drama,
Morgan Dudley.
Oh, wow.
Oh my God. We love dogs on Drama, I will say, Morgan.
They were just really impressed by that introduction, I think.
Do we have multiple dogs in the room with us right now?
Yeah, we have two miniature schnauzers here with us. I would bring them up, but I'm in a rolly chair. I fear I might fall backwards.
Yeah, that's
if I
fair.
Pick them up.
Wait, I feel like schnauzers do travel in packs. Like you can't just have one.
I agree. I mean, they're such social dogs and protective dogs that I feel like they need to have, you know, a second to feel safe and grounded.
Oh, so cute. Did you get them at the same time, or are they different ages and stuff?
They're different ages, but they grew up together. So we're actually holding on to them for my boyfriend's family right now.
Aww, that's so cute.
Like a little foster situation.
I love that. Yeah, a foster situation is fun because then you don't have to like take full responsibility. I love dog sitting in that way.
Yeah, that part.
Morgan, gotta check in. Are you well?
I'm elated, actually. I'm so well. It took me a second to like really believe that I was really doing Hadestown 8 times a week just because it's been like my dream forever and ever and ever. But I finally feel like, okay, this is the place I'm supposed to be. And I'm having so much fun.
Oh, I'd love to hear that.
Well, yeah. I got to come see the show last week. And oh my God, you blew me away.
Thank you.
From the second you opened your mouth, I was like, oh yeah, that's my girl.
Thank you so much. I didn't know. You surprised me. I didn't know that you'd come and seen it already.
I had to. Listen, I mean, and like I was saying before, Dylan and I are obsessed with Hadestown. I mean, I feel like for our listeners who've been listening from the beginning, they know like we've been obsessed forever. My first job in New York was interning at New York Theater Workshop when they had the like first New York off-Broadway production of Hadestown. It holds a special place in my heart for sure.
Yeah, you got to see its like humble beginnings and then into this like, huge thing. Like, how could you not love it?
Yeah, I was thinking about that when I watched the show last week because there was no ensemble in that version. There were no workers. So everyone did all of the songs and sang the whole time. It was like super intense, I think, for the actors. But and there were other differences too. Like,
yeah.
Anyway, all this to say, love seeing you in the show. You and Jack are so cute together. I can tell you guys love each other.
I do. I mean, I wouldn't tell him that to his face, but I totally love Jack Down. He's become one of my best friends in real life too.
There was like almost like a full changeover of the principals.
Yeah.
I feel like that is bound to bring you all together because then you're all rehearsing at the same time.
I agree. And also like all of us had seen and loved the show before. And so I remember like throughout the rehearsal process, we were all just so humbled to be there and thinking like we really kept each other grounded and sane throughout the process and, you know, just kind of held each other. And I think, you know, I've heard people say that that shows and we really do love each other. We really did come in as a unit. And it's the first time that that's happened since the show opened.
Yeah, because I know a lot of the original cast stayed with it for a long time. And so there was just like sort of staggered entrances and exits. So when was the first time that you saw it on Broadway?
Oh,
I saw it in 2021. I moved to New York to do Jagged Little Pill, and it was the first show that I bought tickets to see. And so I went and I saw it. So I saw it with everyone. Amber Gray had left the production. So I missed Amber Gray, which will haunt me for the rest of my days.
Thankfully, she's in that recorded version that they did in London.
The pro shot coming out?
The pro shot. Yeah. I actually thought about that when I was watching you too. I was like, wait, I thought that was coming, but it's not here yet.
Anyway. You're like, actually, I'm looking. No, I cannot wait. But everybody else was so incredible. And I remember watching it, and I had listened to the music before, but actually seeing it on stage, I was like, just so in awe at the beauty of it all, the lighting, the set design, the actors, everything. It was so amazing.
Oh, I love that. I mean, the audience reaction to Wait For Me when I watched it last week, I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Like this lighting, the way the sets with the swinging lights, it's so breathtaking.
It's also so immersive. Like I remember being in the audience and when those lights like come out at you, kind of you're in a certain row, it's literally blinding, but it really does like bring you in. And then like when the walls open up, ugh, I can't get enough.
Oh my God. I could get chills just thinking about it. The Walter Kerr is such an intimate theater. Can you see a lot of the audience while you're performing the show? Because you're also sitting at the foot of the stage quite a bit too.
Yes, actually, I have a show diary. And the other day, like I write down things that I remember happening. The other day after when the chips are down and I had my hand out, there was a girl like directly in my eye line, like trying to eat a chip silently. And I was like, oh God, I gotta lock in right now. Like this is maybe the funniest thing I've ever seen like happen to me like in this serious moment. But in all honesty, like you can see everybody. And I tried my best to avoid looking because I'm like, I don't want to know what anybody's face is doing. Or like, I just wait till the end until we raise our cups. And that's the first time I really decide to take in everybody's faces because it is very visible. We see everything.
Yeah. Wait, oh my God. Something kind of funny happened at the end of the show last week when, okay, spoiler alert for listeners who have not seen Hadestown, when Orpheus turns around. I mean, every time I've gone back to see the show over the last however many years, there's the gasping, there's the anguish in that moment for sure. But someone yelled, "Oh no."
I know what show you're talking about, right? And then she was audibly sobbing for like the next 3 minutes following.
Yes.
I felt horrible. I was like, oh, sweet Jesus, sweet girl. You didn't know?
Me and my friend who had seen the show before, we were both like, it took us out for a second, but only I think it was because it was such a pure moment, you know?
She meant it. She meant that from her diaphragm. She said it from her diaphragm, through her heart, out her mouth. Because that, when we get audible reactions like that, sometimes like I can see Jack and I just like locking in. Because, you know, you get used to doing the show so many times that, you know, I know how it ends. I know how I feel about it, that anything can take me out for a second. Anything. I can hear somebody ruffling a bag of snacks and I'm like, but some of those audible reactions are like the funniest things. We all like chitter chatter backstage. We're like, did you hear that? Did you hear that? We really got them today.
Well, I mean, the crunch of a chip would absolutely take me out too.
Oh my. I'm just glad she didn't bite it. She really was like trying to find the right moment because it was so dead silent. So I actually really appreciate her, but
yeah,
I saw every moment that she thought about it too.
Well, I also love that like you had your Broadway salary for the first time in 2021 and you're like, I'm going to go see Hadestown. Like that is, I mean, totally fair and understandable.
Yeah.
Have you been able to connect with any previous Eurydices before stepping into the role?
I got to connect with the girl who originated Eurydice in the West End, Grace Hodgett Young.
We love.
And she just like wished me like good luck. I saw her in Sunset Boulevard and I was too scared to say anything at the stage door. So I just like texted one of my friends and was like, can you let her know that I want to say hi to her? And she was so, so sweet. And then obviously Myra Malloy, who played Eurydice before I did, we had a moment where I've seen her like 3 times in the show and she came and watched us during our put-in before opening. And she was so sweet. She left me a letter and these flowers and just really grateful for the company and everybody who's been a part of it.
That's beautiful. Wait, speaking of flowers, that song, Connor told me your rendition was beautiful, but what is it like tackling a song like that where it's a little bit more just like straight poetry?
Yeah, I know. You know, that's like something that like I was overthinking for a really long time too, because the words are so poetic and the melody is really driven, I think, by whatever emotion you put behind it. And the song is really driven by whatever I'm choosing to put into it. So there are nights where my Eurydice is more numb. And so therefore the song is a little bit more mellow. And then there are days where it's more frustrated and days where it's more, you know, it's just, it's whatever you can bring to it, right? I think that singing that song and being tasked with performing it well has really taught me to trust myself and trust myself in the moment and be very grounded, because I would get in my head about it and I would talk to my castmates and they would be really encouraging and be like, no, you got it. But it was actually getting to talk with Rachel Chavkin about how she trusted me as an actor and how to kind of let go of whatever preconceived notion I think the song should have and let the poetry speak for itself. And so it's been like a challenge, but a fun one. And I love that song. And thanks, Connor. I'm glad that you liked it.
I loved it. Do you have another favorite song in the show?
Yeah, I love Promises. Promises has always been one of my favorite songs. And it's crazy because I would literally, I have, you know, theater, I have singing guy friends and I'd be like, can you get, like, let's sing this together. And they're like, that's from Hadestown. I don't remember that. And I'm like, what do you mean? What are you talking about? So if anyone doesn't remember Promises, please open up your Apple Music, Spotify, whatever, and give it a listen. It is beautiful. I love the promise that Eurydice and Orpheus are making together at that moment. And the melody is beautiful. It's just like gorgeous. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're a true Hadestown fan if you know Promises. You know, the casual listener needs to get on board. So you mentioned that you got to speak with Rachel Chavkin. Sometimes when there's a long running show, the original director is, you know, it kind of changes hands a little bit as it goes on. Was she involved in your rehearsal process?
She was. We also had Kenan and Emilio working with us as directors, and they were the most hands on and they really helped shape what our show is now. But Rachel would come in and watch us every now and again and just like give us little things to chew on mentally. She's really good about letting us kind of breathe ourselves into the characters and just giving us new perspective. But then after she did that, she would hold like individual meetings with us. And so when her and I got to talk about flowers, it's because she had actually set aside that time to just talk to me for like 45 minutes about how the show was going and yeah, just any questions I had. So she really is hands-on and amazing and accessible, which I'm really appreciative of.
That's really cool. Morgan, tell me about this show diary that you keep, because this feels like something that I would do if I was in a show, because it comes and goes and then you're on to the next one. And you're like, ah. So yeah. I'm just curious about what inspired you to do it.
So I am so immature and there would just be things that would make me laugh or like little mishaps on stage that I would like, oh, I really want to tell my boyfriend. I really have to tell my mom. I have to tell my friends like what happened today. And I would forget. I'd start forgetting because there's something happening every single day. And I was like, you know, I just want to make like a little diary for myself so that I can look back and be like, oh, remember when that happened? Hold on, let me pull it up and see if I can give you a good one that's not embarrassing.
Yeah.
Anybody.
Yes. Protect your
peace. We'll keep it nice.
Yeah.
Yes.
I also feel like for like, if you have like a future cabaret or something, you could easily like scroll through to a certain, have an audience member pick a date and you'll be like, okay, November 10th.
Yes.
And you could just read it from that.
Yes. No, I think that's perfect. Okay. I'll say two. One time I had a beaded bracelet on during one of the coat ballets when the Fates are taking off Eurydice's coat. And as I went to go grab it before they pull it away for the last time, beads exploded on stage everywhere. And it's a turntable, y'all. So I was like, where are the beads going? They're either going underneath the thing or like, so then it became like a bead scavenger hunt and they announced it like over the SM office, like Tanner found the most beads. Like he wins.
Like, oh my goodness. Have you seen Showgirls, that movie? Where they break a beaded bracelet. Oh, oh my God. There's a scene involving a beaded necklace that causes chaos on stage with a turntable. Oh my God. That could have been bad.
Well, now I have to watch it.
Definitely.
And realize what I could have done, the damage I was causing.
Yes.
Yeah. I'm surprised they didn't stop the show in that moment to be like, we need to clean up these beads. But I guess they probably just went under, right?
Yeah. I mean, we want to know something, knock on wood, but they've never stopped a show. In the Walter Kerr.
Wow.
They've never had to stop the show and not continue.
That's incredible.
So
it'll keep going.
Yeah, exactly. So I'm like, I will not be the first person to make that happen. And they were going to make sure of that.
Yeah. Oh my God. Okay. Give us a second one.
Oh yeah. The second I'm honestly like only telling you the tame ones. Cause some of the really funny ones I need to ask permission.
That's fair.
But I think Jack will be okay with me saying the other night, sometimes just everybody, like if our mic isn't on, we'll kind of like, like clear our throat, whatever. We finish wedding song, like, mm-hmm. The audience is clapping. And then Jack just was like looking at me and he goes, and it just is reverberating across the theater. And then both of us went, oh. The thing is when I start laughing, like I can't stop. And so it took me until Epic One started to just, I was just like this for the rest of the time. So.
There is like nothing funnier than holding in a laugh when it's like an inappropriate time.
No, and there are so many inappropriate times in our show to laugh. There's, you know, you really only got some of act one. And after that, you better lock in.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wait, so Morgan, before joining Hadestown at the top of September, were you living in New York or did you relocate for the job?
I just moved out of New York right before I got this. So I lived here for 3 years. Funny enough, I didn't have agents based in New York, so all of my work was outside of New York anyways. So that's why I was like, okay, I think I'm going to move. And right before I moved, I got agents based in New York. And they were like, we're going to keep you here. And I was like, please, I'd love to. But I actually tried living in LA like earlier this year, which was completely different vibe. And I love LA. I think New York is like my home city in my heart. And I was already missing it so much. And then when I did Footloose in Sacramento and was surrounded by all the New York baddies, I was like, oh, I miss you guys. Like I need this back in my life. And then I did a workshop and then Hadestown came after that. And now I'm back and I'm here to stay. I relocated, but like, this is my home.
That feels right.
Yeah,
absolutely does. Well, I love that you had that experience of getting to do Footloose. I mean, I was looking through your Instagram and like seeing your photos from it. It looked like the most pure and magical time.
It was. And it really, you know, I hadn't done a production since Jagged Little Pill, since 2021. So it'd been 3 years since I'd been on a stage doing a musical again. And so it
Wow.
really like rekindled that love I had. I'd always loved doing theater. And then obviously I like went into TV film land, which I also love over there. But like after doing Footloose, I was like, wow, like I really, really miss this. And for Hadestown to be the next thing I do is actually insane. Insane. I'm like, oh, casual. That's cool. It
That is low key insane.
is.
Okay, wait. So you mentioned you've always loved doing theater. We do ask all of our guests about the moment they got into the arts. We borrow Ring of Keys from the musical Fun Home because in that musical, the main character has a moment of identification that alters the course of her life forever. And we like to think of it in terms of the drama in our lives, the theater, pop culture, love, the life. Did you have a Ring of Keys moment as it pertains to the arts?
Okay, so our middle school, when I was in middle school, we did trips to the high schools to go watch their musicals. And I remember it was Bye Bye Birdie. And I was like, I would kill this. And mind you, I'm like 11, like, wow, I would kill this. Like I could be up there right now.
Yes.
Because I didn't do theater. We didn't have like a drama program in middle school. So that was the first time I'd ever seen theater at all. I had never, my family wasn't really into going and watching shows or anything like that. So when I got to high school after watching Bye Bye Birdie, I remember the moment I realized that I was like, I want to make this my career, was actually doing The Wiz. I played Glinda, the Good Witch, and that like changed everything for me. It made the path so clear in my brain. I was like, I want to do musical theater and I want to move to New York and I want to be on Broadway. And you know, it was funny because then I kind of took like I did a lot of like windy roads to get there, but
That's so cool. Wait, I love the track that Glinda has in The Wiz.
not gorgeous?
Yes.
Arrested Body is Arrested Mind is still in my book.
Yeah, you have to just keep it in there at this point.
Yeah.
What were some of the other hits from your high school theater days?
Oh gosh. I did The Lion King. I was Rafiki.
Fun.
And that was like so funny. I remember I auditioned for like Young Nala because I was new to the school. So I was like, I don't know. I didn't know we did fall musicals. So, and they immediately cast me as Rafiki because they were like, you're weird. We need a weirdo like you. So that was just really fun. There's still videos on Facebook that haunt me. I also got to play Wednesday in the Addams Family. That was like my first lead
You're kind of giving Wednesday with the pigtails that you've got going on to
with Love
the braids.
Biggies
Yeah.
and the Black.
I love it.
Thank you. I would love to see an Addams Family revival.
I know.
Is that crazy?
No, not at all. It's so good. The music, it again, when we're talking about scores that bang. I mean, Pulled is amazing.
Well,
When You're in Addams.
When You're in Addams, I love When You're in Addams. And I love Pulled. But you know, like you get used to singing one thing over and over. And I remember like at the end of my school year, I was like I never want to see this song in my life again. But yeah.
Fair enough. Wait, so then Lion King, which by the way, Rafiki, I think does get some amazing. They Live in You is a
Yeah.
gag. Gag.
Yeah. I had so much fun.
What was the journey to then being in Descendants Rise of Red?
Yeah. Well, do you want to know something? I think there's a lot of things that I think I accidentally manifested as a kid. So, smaller example before I tell you this story is that when I was a kid, my uncle owned like a baseball park. And I remember being like, oh, I want to work in like a real stadium, like one day. And then later on, I ended up catering and working at like the Mercedes-Benz Stadium selling concessions in Atlanta. And I was like, wait, I literally wished for this one time, like when I was like 9. And before the first Descendants ever came out, I was obviously one of those kids that was like on Google looking up like Disney Nickelodeon auditions. Like, how do I get in? And it wasn't an audition, but it was just talking about the production of Descendants. It was talking about the characters. It was before anything was cast. So I was super young. Because they had been talking about that years before it came out. And I remember being like, wow, I would love to be in that. Like, I would love to be a part of something like that. Movie comes out, first Descendants, I watch them. I'm like, oh my gosh, this is great. This is amazing. At this point, I'm like nearing 18 years old watching Descendants 3, and I'm like, no shame.
None.
But none. When it comes to Rise of Red, I just remember when I saw the audition come in my inbox, I was like, oh. I was like, no, I'm gonna be in this movie. I don't know how. But I'm going to be in this movie. And the initial audition was for Red, and then another audition for Chloe. You know, they like kind of like are trying to see like, okay, where do you fit in this world? And I remember around the same time, it took months. The audition process took months. They pushed the filming dates back a lot too. So, I mean, there was a point where I hadn't heard anything for like 2 months. I was like, well, okay, it's not a no. But around the same time, I was auditioning for Bad Cinderella in New York City. And I had written down in my journal, like, I can't wait to play Cinderella. But I didn't put Bad Cinderella. I just put Cinderella. And at the end of my audition process, I'd gone through like so many chemistry reads, testings and stuff like that. And they were like, you know, we just think you'd be a really good fit for Ella. Do you want to play Ella? I hadn't even touched the material for Ella. I hadn't seen it yet. And I was like, oh my gosh, what? Hello? And so that's how I ended up playing Ella. And then I forgot that I had journaled that. I forgot that I had journaled, like, I can't wait to play Cinderella, until my mom reminded me, because me and my mom, we always talk about like things we're manifesting. And yeah, so that's kind of, I mean, obviously that's like the like spiritual esoteric version of like the road there. But it really did feel like, you know, obviously my agents were working with them and casting and everything, but it just, I just remember seeing it and feeling like it was going to happen, and it did. So
that is so cool. Yeah. You totally manifested
Thank
it
you.
For sure.
And I love Descendants.
It's so great. Yeah. Oh my God. I mean, we were watching it a little too old when we watched, we like binged like 1, 2, and 3 at yeah. some point, like pre-COVID, I want to say. And that duet between Dove and Sophia, I don't remember which movie it's in. Space Between.
Descendants 2, Space Between.
Oh, she knows.
It is so, Dylan and I were legit obsessed with that. We were like, wait, this is us.
Yeah. Oh, wait, you guys have to do a cover now.
Okay.
All right. Dylan, who's Dove and who's Sophia?
Obviously you're Sophia, but you know,
well, yes.
the idea of like you being offered Cinderella is such a magical thing, but it also just makes sense now, like looking back. Like there's also like that sort of like, you know, we'll call it like a family resemblance with Brandy. So like it all was sort of like meant to be.
Thank you. I'm like, there's like, Brandy is like, what do I say? A deity? She's like a deity to me. I like vocal Bible, that woman.
It's always clean.
Always clean. Ugh, I love Brandy. That's all.
Yes. She's a deity to us too, because Connor and I were obsessed with the Cinderella, Rodgers and Hammerstein Cinderella that she did.
Yeah. Yeah. And Paolo actually came by to see Hadesound recently too.
Oh, I love hearing that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to remember, you wouldn't have had any scenes with either of them.
No.
In the movie though. Okay.
No. But I did visit set when they were on set.
Oh,
just to
course.
Say hello.
To.
So.
That's awesome. When you were growing up, like, obviously, you know, you said you didn't have a drama department in your middle school, but then you did when you were in high school. What sort of musical theater cast albums were you listening to and getting excited about at that time?
Well, you know what? I was obsessed with Ariana Grande as a, like, after Victorious, obsessed.
Yeah.
And because I just didn't know much about musical theater, they were like, she was in 13, the musical. And I was like, what's that? So, you know, I do my little deep dive. And then I, like, saw this, like, it was like a bootleg of a regional production of 13 the Musical on YouTube. And I was obsessed with it. I was absolutely obsessed. I was like, oh my God, this music is amazing. I learned all the songs, all the arrangement. Like, and then I got obsessed with Jason Robert Brown. Well, kind of like, I guess I have Ariana Grande to thank for like my discovery into musical theater. And yeah, I was listening to 13 the Musical.
It's so good though.
It really was. Because I was like, I didn't really get into other musical theater albums until high school.
Okay. You're a pop girly though. Obviously, if you liked Ariana.
Yeah. Yeah. I was loving Yours Truly, My uh-huh. Everything. I also loved listening to like older Willow Smith, like from when she was, do you remember when she was like a pop baby?
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah,
like
of course,
I grew up like with that. And I was like 21st century, like anything, China Ann McClain, like, those are my idols growing up. So I'm trying to remember if there were any other, oh, Mayday Parade. Do you guys know who Mayday Parade is?
I remember Mayday Parade.
I remember, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I also had like a huge emo phase. So it was like Ariana Grande and then like Pierce the Veil, My Chemical Romance, Mayday Parade. That's why I couldn't remember. I was like, I forgot that I had that going on.
What would you say the biggest influence then is on your original music now as a songwriter yourself?
Oh my God. Me forgetting Beyonce. That's criminal. Definitely. I think a mixture between Ariana Grande. It's so weird, like, comparing Ariana Grande or Beyonce's music to my own, because it's not anything like that. But I just love the way that they layer vocals. It's weird because the music I listen to has always not been like the music I make. So I don't listen to a ton of singer-songwriting music, but I make a lot of singer-songwriting music. And then I think I just implement things that I like about Ariana Grande or Beyonce's music into my singer-songwriting music. Or like those like emo bands, like kind of the edge they've had. There's some songs I have not really, obviously I've released two songs, but there are like things in my music that kind of feel like the 2010s emo, like white boy band, like, like I have a little, it's a weird, I feel like it's a weird culmination of things. And then also I make singer-songwriter music, you know?
Yeah, for sure. I did notice that about your music. It is very singer-songwritery, which I do love and listen to, you know?
Yeah, I'm getting into it now. I've started to listen to Lizzie McAlpine because my boyfriend showed me her, what was it, in Floyd Collins?
Yeah.
Through the Mountains?
I think that's what it was. Yeah, it was gorgeous.
It was so good. And then I started like looking her up and listening to some of her music. And then Olivia Rodrigo nowadays. Yeah, I love them.
Of course. Is your boyfriend in the entertainment world?
He is, yeah. He's doing, he's gonna go off to Boston to do ART. They're doing Wonder. Do you know the book?
I'm excited about that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. They're doing Wonder at ART. He's playing Justin and he's gonna be amazing. And I'm
so excited.
I'm gonna go see it.
I love it.
Of course. And it's not too far. We went to ART over the summer to see Two Strangers when it was out of town. And it's so cute. It's Harvard.
Okay. Because it's right across the street. From Hadestown.
Yeah.
And they have some dates that I can go see it and still do my show. So I want to.
Oh, it's great.
Okay, good.
Yeah, it's so good. It's so
good. It'd
honestly
be a cute date night.
To go see Two Strangers?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. I think so. Yeah. Yeah. No. It's kind of like a rom-com musical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Interesting. Okay.
Do you have plans to release more music though? I mean, you mentioned that there's some, I don't want to call them vault tracks, but there's just some things that you have written.
Yeah. Yeah. There definitely is. I was in the studio a lot when I moved to LA. That's kind of what I moved to do, was more music. So I have some people that I'm connecting with here in New York City, and just finding time in between shows and stuff to like lay down the tracks, because they're all on the guitar and like they're in my notes app. But yeah, I'm just, you know, releasing music is such a different skill, like the actual releasing of it. I get so nervous to release my own music. Like Purgatory was kind of me testing myself. I was like, okay, girl, like put this out. Just put it out. Like you'll be fine. Like the world will not end because people know how you feel about them. But after that, I definitely felt more confident. So yeah, more music's coming.
I love it.
Look out.
Morgan, I just realized we have not discussed Jagged Little Pill, your Broadway debut. I mean, of course we talked about you doing it in 2021, using your salary to go see Hadestown. Of course, all roads lead to the next, you know, in cosmic ways. But what was that experience like for you?
It's actually really funny when I think back to it, because I don't think my brain caught up to how big of a deal it was, because I was still young. I was still like coming out of the pandemic and I hadn't gone to school. Like I didn't end up going to school I was supposed to. And then I just didn't, pandemic stuff. So I remember getting there and just feeling like it was like high school theater, but like way better. And I remember my friend, now one of my best friends, Audie Roy, he played Phoenix alongside me. It was both of our Broadway debuts. And we were both young and we were both talking about like, wow, like this just feels like normal like theater, but like just way more professional. And I just had like this very like bright-eyed, bushy-tail view of everything. And I was learning what things, like I didn't know what a matinee was. I was like, what's a matinee? Everyone keeps saying matinee. And they're like, that just means the day show. I was like, oh, okay. Like, so I'm just very, very grateful to how like gracious everybody around me was to like teach me these like very obvious concepts to me now. But the experience was, you know, there was a lot going on like around the time that I joined.
Yeah.
And I didn't know that upon joining. I didn't know anything at all. And so I remember walking in my first day, and my first day was everybody talking about and quite frankly arguing with one another like about the situation and trying to find solutions. And there was a lot of like, and I remember being like, what is happening?
Plus COVID, you know, plus, like there's like, like you probably were all in masks.
Yeah. And... Oh my gosh, which was so scary because we didn't know. I mean, like Broadway was opening back up, but COVID was still happening. You're in a really populated city. So I think, you know, we were all just like a little stressed about the external, but internally, that cast was so amazing and so sweet. And, you know, there was that bickering in the beginning, but everybody really came around to being with each other at the end of it. And I'm so grateful that that was my first experience here, truly.
God, I still play that cast album. It's so great. And I loved everyone who was brought together for it. Derek Klena, Elizabeth, and Catherine. And it was just such a great group. The story that was being told at the end of the day, I think really did speak to a lot of people. And it's speaking to the moment in which it was released. And it was great.
Yeah, I definitely agree. And also, like, I remember, like, going to that stage door and, like, just hearing the countless people talk about why it was meaningful to them. And because it was tackling so many different subjects, like, you would get, like, so many different perspectives. And I thought that was so, so cool about the show. And Alanis Morissette is amazing. And Tom Kitt's arrangements were awesome. I'm like, and it made so much sense with the book. I'm blown away by that.
Yeah. I'm happy that you got to have that experience too, because imagine making your Broadway debut as Eurydice, you know, doing the 8-show-a-week thing, you know?
Yeah. I think that would have, because at least, you know, Jagged Little Pill wasn't necessarily like happy-go-lucky either, like as far as the content's concerned, but it was definitely, definitely more so than playing Eurydice. But Jagged Little Pill's actually, I remember one of my castmates was actually telling me how he had a routine to like step into the role and step out of the role. And so I've like created a routine for myself because of him, that when I'm stepping into Eurydice, like I have a specific thing I do. And then after the show's over, I have a specific thing I do to kind of like let her go and let it out of my system. So that's something I just picked up while being at the Broadhurst Theater.
That's really cool. Healthy. Is it a private ritual that you have, or do you mind sharing what you do to step in and out?
Yeah, I mean, I have like this rose quartz facial mist. And so before I go on stage, I always spray myself all over and also on my chest because it's hard with the rose quartz facial mist. I have all these crystals. I've kind of made the heating radiator my altar of sorts because there's like all these crystals there. And I have like two, like they're called worry stones, but I have one that's carnelian, one that's rose quartz, and I meditate with them before the show starts. And then when the show's over, first of all, I wash my face. I wash my makeup off every day, but I'm like repeating affirmations to myself, like, okay, like I'm washing off like Eurydice, like she's out of my system, like the story's over, you know? And as I'm putting on my clothes, it's kind of more mental. And then I have a perfume that I only spray after a show. And then that's like my perfume to smell like myself. And yeah, that's my routine.
I love it. Wait, I low-key feel like I should have a work ritual where I enter and exit the workplace because we could all apply that to all of our day jobs too, I feel like, to really like let it go. Like, okay, we're entering my real life right now, you know?
Yes.
All these stressors should just...
Yes, it's really helpful.
Cleared.
Yes, I think if you do, you'll have to let me know what yours is. Because the one,
yeah,
the guy who told me a Jagged Little Pill, his was a salt lamp. He just turned the lamp on and then turned it off. So it can be really simple. I, of course, overcomplicated mine, but I think it's super duper helpful mentally too.
Of course. I love it. What's your zodiac sign?
I'm a Cancer sun, Pisces moon, Sagittarius rising.
Oh.
Do we know our big three?
Oh, yes. Well, we share them, which is kind of weird that we're twins.
Yeah.
Because we're twins. Yeah, it's kind of weird. So we're Virgo sun, Aries rising, and Aquarius moon.
Wow. Interesting.
I know. Very balanced in ways, you know.
It is.
Yeah.
But sure. I'm trying to like put that together in my head. I don't want to give you an incorrect reading interpretation, so I'm not going to try, but that's really cool. I'm like, wow, that's an interesting combination internally, right? Like, do you feel like a little like sometimes you're pulled in one direction and then you're like, but no, actually I feel this way.
Yeah.
Oh, every day.
You know
every
day.
It's tough because I would say that like we like as Virgos, we're very like organized. Obviously it's like stereotypical, but true, but we love our routines. We are pretty fair. Like we see all sides of things. But then like the Aries side, like that's where the passion kicks in of like excitement, like high emotion, et cetera. And then the Aquarian
really just brings us back down to like the moody, like empath. And it's like, yeah, it's really a daily struggle of feeling everything and then like randomly nothing sometimes. So
yeah,
we understand each other.
We do. We do. We're lucky to have each other for sure. Wait, Morgan, do you feel like a Cancer at the end of the day? Like, are you very creative and emotional? Those are like qualities of Cancers, right?
Yeah. And I'm so into this stuff. So I'm going to save a little bit of it. But
yeah, yeah.
Basically, a lot of my birth chart's in Gemini. So sometimes I feel more like a Gemini. But as far as my actual like feelings and emotions are concerned, like I am very like intuitive of the people around me. And I really like want them to be okay. So I think that is like a very Cancerian trait I have. And you have friends, family, relationships, and they're there every day. And I always care about them. So in that sense, yes, I feel very much like a Cancer all the time.
I can tell. I can just feel that about you. I meant to ask this earlier. Can you share any sort of a backstage story of you and Jack in this fun friendship that you have? Any sort of a little tidbit, tradition, ritual? I mean, you've given us some cute little onstage moments too.
This is actually really funny because our ritual backstage is that we don't see each other backstage at all until we get on stage. And then we talk during Way Down, Hades Down. And we're like, hey. Because the one time we saw each other like before the show, like we're like, it's kind of weird. Like I think I like it better if I just like walk on stage and that's the first time I see you for the day. But something really funny that happened. Oh my gosh, this is like, there's so many stories. I'll give you two. So one of them is that I dressed up as him for Halloween. So that was backstage and I was hiding from him all day. And I'd come in without my wig and he actually came in at the same time. And I was like, gosh, like, I'm like, but I'm in kind of in normal clothes. And he was like, oh, I love your outfit today, which was actually his outfit. So I was like, oh, thank you. Thank you. But when he saw me in that wig and with the carabiner, my makeshift little key thing, because he always has his keys on his pants, they were like, are you me? I was like, nice to meet you. Like, what's your name? But that's more so like a funny backstage moment. I think something that is representative of me and Jack's relationship, however, is that on one of the first days we met, I was taking pictures of him like with his Polaroid at the theater just because like it was really exciting. It's his Broadway debut. It's like been a dream of theirs for a long time. And so I'm taking these pictures and he was like, oh, like, can we take one together? And I was like, yeah, of course. He's like, by the way, I'm like really good. Like if you ever like don't like a picture, like I'm really, really good about like, you know, asking you, like that's just something that I do. And I was just like, oh, that's great. Like, thank you so much. Thank you. Oh, I remember. Actually, he asked me if I wanted a picture and I was like, no, because I looked crazy that day. And then that's when he was like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm really good about that. I'm like, okay, okay, okay. Almost immediately, there's this girl who's clearly a Jack Wolf fan and she's with her mom and she's looking at Jack and she's like this. And her mom's like, hi, like, she's a huge fan of yours. Like, is that okay if she takes a picture with you? And Jack's like, yeah, of course. Grabs me at my shoulder and puts me in the picture. Like 2 seconds after I was like, I look crazy today. Like, I don't want to. And also 2 seconds after he was like, no, I'm really good at about, you know, like making sure and like consenting to pictures and everything. He's like, yeah, come here. And I was like, what? I was like, no, like, I'm like, she doesn't like, they don't want me and they don't know. Like, and, but he had me locked in. And as they're taking the picture, he whispers, oh my God, I'm so sorry. I was like, I'm gonna kill you. And then he walked away and he was like, can you believe I did that to you? Like right after saying, I was like, you're not like, I'm like, you're on my shit list now. Okay. Like, and ever since then, like we've hated each other. So that's us.
Oh, siblings. It feels like a sibling vibe for sure.
It really is. I actually love him so much, but.
Aw. Morgan, this has been such a fun chat. I have literally loved getting to know you so much. Before we say goodbye, we do like to end with a dose of drama. This is like a theater, pop culture, love life, recommendation, rant, rave, anything you want to bring up. We'll all share one. Okay, my dose of drama is, y'all, Katy Perry quietly released a single last Friday.
Yes.
Called Band-Aids. Hardly any promo. Her last album was such a big miss for me after being a Katy Cat of the Teenage Dream era, so it was really tough. But y'all, this song is incredible. It is giving like Prism era, which was her album after Teenage Dream. The vocals are there. The production on it's good. The message is like relatable. It's not like her 143 album in any way. And I kind of just wish that there was more record label backing on Band-Aids and the radio stations were playing it, because it's been stuck in my head for 4 days now. So I really recommend everyone going to listen to Band-Aids, regardless of how you feel about Miss Perry these days. Anyway, just had to say it's stuck in my head literally right now.
I'll listen right after this.
So good. Dylan, do you have a dose of drama?
Yes. Okay. Mine is a documentary, and I was very late on this one. Everyone watched it, I want to say over the summer, but I need to look up the title real quick. It was called Unknown Number, The High School Catfish. Have you heard of this, Morgan?
No.
Oh my God. You know, you'd think in 2025, are people really still being catfished? And the answer is yes. And it is in this absolutely crazy documentary. I do not want to give anything away. It is so wild. It's unsettling. But it is about this girl and her boyfriend who receive all these wild texts from an unknown number. And it occurs over like a year plus. And it is so shocking. I don't even want to reveal who it is. Obviously, I won't, because I'm a spoiler-free person. But it is so interesting. If you want like an enthralling, and here's the thing, it's so good, you're not going to want to look at your phone once. You're going to be so enraptured. And that for me is the litmus test these days of two screening.
Totally.
So that is my recommendation. Unknown Number, The High School Catfish.
Wow. Okay. Wow. Morgan, do you have a dose of drama?
I do. I actually have a bone to pick with Amazon Prime, because I've been watching Gen V. Have we seen The Boys or Gen V?
I've seen it all.
Oh, yeah.
Both seasons of Gen V, every season of The Boys.
All right. I have not seen every season of The Boys. I've only started watching season one because I started with Gen V. Okay. So I'm a diehard fan of Gen V. And season three might not happen. They're like, we don't know. I mean, it's planned, but it's not confirmed. But my thing is, who was going to know that season two came out? Because I didn't see like anything about it. The only reason that I knew that it was out is because I live in New York and there's a gigantic billboard in New York City that's like Gen V season two. And I was like, oh, it's out? And like, this is coming from somebody who's like, I love Gen V. Like, I was looking for season two. So how was I looking for season two and didn't even hear nothing about it? So I just feel like I have a bone to pick. I'm like, season three needs to come out. I need to know what happens to the gang. I've been very fortunate that most shows that I've gotten into have not been canceled. This would be the first one to ever like happen to me. So like, I would just love if it didn't. Manifesting.
Write it down. Cause I mean, you seem to have a good track record with that, but there needs to be a season three, especially because The Boys is ending. So that we need to keep the story going in a different way. And I think with the way that, did you finish season two?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There needs to be more. Like, I'll just put that out there.
Yeah. I'm like, if it ends there, that is so deeply unsatisfying. Wow. That's my bone to pick. I'm so happy I have an outlet to talk about that. Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you for the space.
That's what we're here for. That's what we're here for. Morgan, this was so much fun. You are such a delight. And I am so excited for anyone who gets to see you in Hadestown, because from what I understand, it is a beautiful performance.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And everybody needs to follow you on Instagram. You're at Morgan Dudley.
Yeah. Super easy.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for doing this.
Thank you guys so much.
Yeah. Thank you. And while everyone's following Morgan, you got to follow us. We're at The Drama Podcast. I'm at Connor McDowell, and Dylan is at Dylan McDowell.
That's right. And Connor, I will see you next time.
Drama.